To be honest, if I queef in the bedroom and someone doesn't turn into like a beatboxer and makes an eight count out of my queef, I don't want it. I absolutely don't want it.
Welcome to Honey Do Me, a podcast that goes into the bedroom and beyond, hosted by Emma Norman
and Cass Anderson.
Here at Honey Do Me, we don't have all the answers, so we chat with experts, educators, and badass changemakers to get them. We are here to remind our listeners and ourselves that what we're going through is normal, that we are worthy of love and pleasure,
and that we are all in this together. So tell us, honey, how do you do you? Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to another wonderful week on Honey Do Me.
Honey Do Me. Honey Do who?
Me.
Me.
And you.
And you.
But me first. That's our motto around here. Me first.
Me first.
So, how have you been? First off.
I've been great. I just got back from a week in Tahoe, and I'm tan. And if Emma's tan,
Emma's happy.
Yes. I can be if I'm hot, I'm upset. If I'm not tan, I'm upset.
You guys, last year, Emma based her entire summer around this one plan. Mm-hmm. And she was like, everything in my life will be better once this happens.
Yeah.
You're having a bit of a hard time. It's okay. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the trip didn't work out because of fires.
Yeah.
And my heart sank when you told me that, because I was just like, Emma has been so excited for this.
Because I was going to be tan. I haven't been tan in 2 years, and now I'm finally a tan person that I can just be this happy, just happy this bitch.
Happy, happy gal.
So I'm doing well until this fades in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Anyway, let's continue with you.
I'm good-ish. I did have an interesting experience that I think kind of relates to today's episode, which we'll get into in a minute.
Okay.
So I was having sex.
Uh-huh.
As one does.
As one does.
And it was great. So much fun. Wonderful time. It was with my partner. And he had gone down on me, and then we had penetrative sex.
Uh-huh.
And so, fantastic. Both orgasmed. Doesn't have to be the goal, but that's what happened. Mm-hmm. It was lovely. We finished. I go to the bathroom to pee, as uh-huh. you do.
Uh-huh.
And there was a ton of blood, which like period blood, but I wasn't on my period. I've been having some weird, mm-hmm. I don't know, like my period has been coming too soon or just like random times. I don't really know what's going on. I'm fine. Don't mm-hmm. worry. I'm fine.
You can calm
Everyone
down.
Everyone calm down. You're being hysterical. But it was just kind of like, oh my God, like that was a lot. And he went down on me and like all of this stuff was running through my head. But you know what the number one thing running through my head was?
Mm.
My sheets better be okay.
Yeah, because they're linen.
I have beautiful linen sheets that I got before I knew I was going to get a puppy.
Before I knew I was going to bleed everywhere.
Before I knew I was going to bleed everywhere and get a puppy.
Yeah.
And I ran. Mm-hmm. I ran the 10 feet between the toilet and my sheets.
Uh-huh.
They were fine.
That's good.
And honestly, I didn't give it a second thought after that. I didn't bring it up to my partner. I didn't really say anything. I was just like, yep, I dealt with it. And mm-hmm. then I was like, cool, we're good. If there was blood, that's fine.
That's not your business, honestly.
It's not your business. I mean,
it's really not your problem.
Yeah.
It's none of your business what happens outside of you.
I do have a question for you. And because I thought about it when this was happening. I didn't know I was bleeding.
Me?
No. I thought about a question.
Okay, fine.
As he was going down on me, I just couldn't get you out of my head.
Not the first time I've heard that.
If I had a nickel.
If I had a nickel. What's your question?
So whenever my partner goes down on me, we all know I have a body fluid.
Uh-huh.
I don't like body fluids. I have him wipe his mouth before he kisses me after.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Is that rude?
I think it's preference. It's whatever you want. I mean, I remember in the very beginning of when I was like starting to have sex, I would be uncomfortable with like the taste and smell and juiciness.
Yeah.
I don't care now, but I think it's just preference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm not disgusted by my own body. I am disgusted by fluids in general. Yeah. So, because you could even be like, oh, it's just kind of like spit, but that would gross me out too.
Yeah.
That would also make me upset.
That's fair. See, I wouldn't like it if he had water on his mouth. I don't like when
just from drinking.
Just from drinking. I don't like that.
Yeah, like you can have my waters on your mouth, yeah. but not
I don't like that.
Mother Nature's.
I think that's weird. It's like wipe your mouth.
That's true. What if it was food?
Oh, I would kick them out of the bedroom.
What if
I think you that's so disgusting when they like drink while they're eating? Have you ever seen those people who are like have food in their mouth and then they take a sip of their drink while they're eating?
I'm one of those people.
I hate it so much. What do you mean?
So you like finish your entire meal before you have a drink? No,
like you finish the bite in your mouth before you take a sip.
Yeah.
I don't think it's disgusting.
Unless something's like stuck in my throat, in which case I'll go for water. But that's a survivability thing.
Yeah, that's just to stay alive. But I don't like it. So I have my things. You have your things.
So what if you are incorporating food into the bedroom? Because I know that is you like to do that.
Okay.
And they have like food on their mouth. Then is it a sexy thing?
No, I wouldn't care if it's like a chocolate sauce or whipped cream or jelly.
Jelly.
I don't know. Probably not. I probably wouldn't care. I mean, if it was like if we were eating like chicken pot pie, I'd be upset.
While you were having sex, you're eating chicken pot pie.
Actually, that sounds really cool.
Does it?
To have like a good dinner. While you're having sex,
like
steak,
actively engaging in sexual content.
If I could just lay down and have a steak, I mean.
What I'm really saying is I want to eat a steak in bed. You don't have to be there. You can be there or not. It's really, it doesn't make the situation
if
or
you're
break
like,
it.
Yeah, if you're penetrating me while I'm having steak, that's my dream Wednesday. You know what I mean?
I mean, luckily you could do that solo play too.
Yeah.
Get your vibe going.
That's true.
Eat a steak.
Like mashed potatoes in bed.
Wouldn't that be better though? Yeah. I'm inhibited. You're just dealing with somebody else's body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know if I want somebody else's naked body near my food. Because again, sweat and that kind of stuff. If that got onto my taters.
My taters?
I would fucking cry.
Fucking cry.
I don't know what it is. I'm sure there's a difference in my brain between other people, but I just have really sudden like turnoffs with food.
Yeah.
And it changes day to day. So some days broccoli stems, I gag when I'm eating them.
That's like it's so weird.
And I can't even like, I can't put them near my mouth. It freaks me out. I can't have them in my food. It's like, but it changes day to day and it's really intense aversions. Like, aversion doesn't even feel like the right word.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're high maintenance.
No, I'm actually so easy.
Just ask me what vegetable I'm scared of that day and I'd be fine.
Because it's usually just like one or two. So it's like, just make sure that those are not within like 100 meters of me.
Me? And I'm fine.
I'm fine. It's like I can pass it at the grocery store. I just don't want it in your mouth. Hole.
Okay, Kevin Malone.
I don't know who that is.
It's from The Office. They tried to make him eat broccoli and he threw up.
Oh.
What we're talking about today is that we want to have wild, fun, whatever we want sex in the bedroom, right?
In the bedroom, it's just me and my authenticity.
Exactly. So how are we going to get there?
We are talking with the beautiful Janika Jewell.
A true ray of sunshine.
Just an angel.
Mm-hmm.
With the best tips and the best stories. Oh my god.
I haven't laughed that hard. I was like sweating. But I mean that's not that's no, but not. Like I was sweating how much I was laughing.
But from laughter.
Yes.
In addition to.
Exactly. Eat. So it's how to have just like let go of all of your inhibitions and have the best, most authentic sex that you can have.
Yes.
And just like be wild, be you, be free, and like not let anything hold you back from you and your pleasure.
Absolutely.
That's what we're getting at.
That's the whole shebang.
Whole so, shebang shaboodle.
We'll see you on the other side of all of that.
G'day.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Janika Jewell, aka the Nomadic Nympho, and I am a sex educator, solo traveler, Black woman, and unapologetically myself. I am so eager to connect with you both and be here on this podcast. I'm also a YouTuber and a content creator. Realistically, I'm a Renaissance woman because I do it all. So thank you so much for having me. The pleasure is truly all mine to be here.
Oh, that was the most beautiful intro I think I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Nomadic Nympho. What a cute name.
I love it. When I first started, it didn't roll off the tongue as much, but it encompasses exactly who I am and what I do. So I think it fits perfectly now.
Ugh, I love it so much. Well, we really want to talk about being fully expressive during sex and just having like an uninhibited experience. And we've run across some of your videos where you give really great tips about how to just fully start expressing yourself. So what does that actually mean? What does it mean to be fully expressive during sex?
It means showing up as yourself. Not, I know we're speaking in the realm of sex, but in all facets of your life, truly, and existing outside of like cis heteronormativity, patriarchy, and all of these systems that exist so that we don't thrive and so that we suppress ourselves. It's just showing up, being who you are, and not being afraid to showcase who you are.
How do you start to do that? Because I feel like, you know, we hear that sort of sentiment and it's like, oh, that sounds amazing. And then it's like, how do I actually do it? Because it's like, how do I know I am inhibited? And like, how do I know I am partaking in these systems?
It's a really like a lot of unlearning. It's unpacking all of the belief systems that you have, what you've been taught, the language you use. And it's not something that happens overnight. Like, I really didn't start leaning into this until I started solo traveling a lot, because I had to rely on my own intuition, my own instincts, and really just be my own best friend. So through that and my ability to connect with people on my travels, I was like, how can I foster the most amazing connections here? It's by showing up and being me, being my goofy self, not being afraid to ask questions, to engage in conversations, and just be there, just do it.
Mm-hmm. So all of this work really starts outside of the bedroom if you want to be able to bring it into your intimate relationships.
Absolutely. I think it's really different for folks that have experienced trauma as well, because there's so much unpacking that you have to do there. Mm-hmm. And when you've experienced trauma, you tend to not see yourself in the best light and through the best lens. So for some people, it really takes like a lot of work and seeking out professional help to help you get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was our next kind of question, is what steps are we taking then to loosen up or to start getting to know ourselves a little bit better if we're not going to be moving around and doing what you say really helped you, you know, starting to travel on your own? Like, what are some good ways to start getting to know yourself a little bit better?
Taking yourself out on dates. And that doesn't mean like super extravagant dinners and like yachts. It means simply like going and having a picnic in the park, or setting aside some time on a Friday night to order your favorite meal or make your favorite meal, and really just spending time with yourself so that you get familiar with what you really like, so that you get comfortable with solitude. Also, a lot of journaling. I did so much journaling to work through all of the belief systems that I had in my head, and also cultivating a really good community around you. Like, who do you surround yourself with? Who are your friends? Do they uplift you? Do they make you feel seen? Do they make you feel heard? Do you feel like you can be yourself around them?
I love that. I think those are such great steps to be taking to improve every aspect of our lives. And we've talked about a lot with a lot of different people how everything outside the bedroom impacts what's going on inside the bedroom and how foreplay starts days before you have sex. And I'm wondering, so if we are, you know, taking a step into the bedroom, so to speak, and you're in that moment and you're feeling like, I really can't let go right now, do you have any tips? And it's not, you know, you don't feel like you're in like a negative or traumatic situation, like you feel safe, but you just don't know how to let go. Do you have any tips for like that sexual moment?
I used to say like you shouldn't have sex with people that you can't communicate with, but I've shifted away from using that language because I feel like it's drenched in a lot of shame, because for a lot of us, we weren't given the knowledge and the language, and the education is the word I'm looking for, to know how to communicate. So we learned how to communicate and about our bodies through having sex. And I'm not at all saying that you shouldn't communicate, because you need to.
Right.
But I think being able to sit down with your partner prior to the activity, or whoever you're engaging in that sexual experience with, to tell them like, hey, this is what's coming up for me, and hey, this is what I need to be comfortable, is the first step. And I think that really we have to get out of our own heads and really, really be in our bodies during the experience. Because if you're constantly living in your head, you're going to be overthinking every step of sex. And it's not supposed to be by the book. It's supposed to be uninhibited and pleasurable, like we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in an instance where maybe you're with a partner that was like a one-night stand, so you didn't have maybe the same opportunity to have like a conversation or something. And like your uninhibited personality intimidated them. Like, is that something you can run into when you're starting to kind of unlock yourself?
So full transparency, I've only ever had one nightstand and it was 2 years ago. I got out of this really bad relationship and I was in Bali and this like sexy man came out of the pool and like did a hair flip. And I looked at my friend and I was like, he's getting this coochie tonight.
I love it.
And it was the week of my birthday. So we ended up having a lot of drinks. My authenticity was like on 1,000 in that situation. And I just looked him dead in the face and was like, I'm going home with you. You know what's happening. And that was exactly how it happened. But apart from him, for me, all of my other sexual like endeavors have been in relationships. Mm-hmm. But for other folks that it's one night stands and just like casual sexual experiences, I think that you really need to know what you want and what you're hoping to get out of them. So again, that goes back to the journaling and sitting down with yourself and just like making a list of like how you want to feel during sex, what you want that to look like, and things that you need from your partner, or like even if they're casual, to ensure that that experience is a good one for everyone.
That leads me to two questions. My first one is, I know for me personally, having a drink is something that really loosens me
up. I was just going to ask that.
Obviously, like, takes away my inhibitions a little bit. So what is your thought on using that as mm-hmm. a tool if you're of age and it is a safe situation, like, to let go? Because I feel like, you know, if we're going back to shame and all of that, it's like, I know that's something that works for me, but then I feel bad about it because I'm like, well, shouldn't I just feel like no right. shame anyway? Shouldn't I just be able to automatically do that? Mm-hmm. And it's like, honestly, for me, that's not where I'm at right now.
And that's the key piece. That's not where you're at right now, but that doesn't mean you can't ever get there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's totally fine. Like, if it's consenting adults, do whatever you need to do. Drink all the libations you need to feel comfortable. But I think it becomes an issue when that's the only thing that you're doing in order right. to get there. And mm-hmm. then that needs to be like a deeper conversation that you have with yourself as to why you can only be in that place when you're inebriated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Jinx, did you have a second question?
I forgot it. So you go first and then I will come back to it.
Okay. So we want to talk about behaviors that show you're uninhibited in the bedroom as well. And I think you've mentioned in one of your videos, like laughing, crying, screaming, growling, like all of those things that really show that you're letting loose. So how do you discover those parts of yourself that you want to show in the bedroom? Like, how do I know I'm a growler? How do you know if I'm a laugher or a crier? Like, what makes you want to do that in those moments?
I don't know if you're noticing a reoccurring theme yet, but I'm going to go back to like, you have to do those things on your own.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. when you masturbate, if you are in the space to do that, like mm-hmm. scream, cry out, like make a full on concert in your own bedroom with all those sounds and those noises, because that's what I did. Like when I masturbated, I was like, are my sounds mine or did I get them from the porn that I was watching? Like, what do mm-hmm. I actually sound like? So I just tried different things. I would make noises like Tarzan. I would growl like animals. Mm-hmm. But I think that when you do it on your own, you can get comfortable hearing the sound of your own voice and knowing like what feels natural when it's coming up. Mm-hmm. And then in the bedroom, it won't feel as like bizarre or strange because you're used to doing it on your own already.
So even if you're not sure, like, I don't know if growling would be my noise, but is it worth just trying it to see if it feels right?
Absolutely. Okay. I think too, that'll tell you if the person you're sleeping with is right for you. If you were to growl in the bathroom,
you just take a shit or growling in the bathroom. That'd be fun.
Bathroom, bedroom, kitchen. I don't know where you click the scene, but
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think like if they get uncomfortable, then maybe they're not the right person. The true response we want is for them to laugh or like growl back. Like mm-hmm. that's the epitome of of the situation. But why not? Like, sex isn't supposed to have a script. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be free. You are supposed to just show up with your saggy boobs, with your cellulite, with your stretch marks, whatever it is, and like get sweaty and have a good time. So if you need to growl, do it.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching in one of your videos, and also what you just said about reenacting what you heard or saw in porn. And then you talking about like sex is like this thing, you know, like be yourself, be this like animalistic version of yourself if you want to be. And that totally was like, yeah, this is like the most primal, one of the most primal things we can do. Why would we be so performative at it, or just keep copycatting things that we see in porn or, you know, read in a book or something? And that really clicked with me. I'm like, I can't believe that we don't experiment more and we don't talk more about, you know, growling, drooling, screaming, crying during sex. Like, just that seems so much more normal than laying there and moaning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And two, think about how we switch our personalities, our behaviors, like all throughout the day, depending on the institutions that we exist within or like where we show up. The last place I want to wear a mask is when I'm on my back or riding someone's face. Like, that is myself, like, through and through. I'm naked. My labias are here for you. So I'm not taking any of it.
Why would I wear a mask if I'm literally, you're inside of
if
my vagina?
I am your mask?
Yeah, exactly.
Why should I be wearing one?
Right. Exactly.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We talked about if you're in that moment and you growl and your partner doesn't have the best response, then maybe they're not right for you. But if you're in that moment and that happens and that person doesn't respond, I think it's going to be kind of hard to make that jump of like, they're just not for me. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm perfect. And it's like, what can you do in that moment if you do get that sort of negative response? Because for me, having a plan helps me.
Yeah.
Immensely.
Mm-hmm. Where is your plan?
Oh, I don't have one. That's why I'm asking you.
I think, too, like, communication is so important. Mm-hmm. It's like, take a step back and have a conversation. Because why would you continue on that experience with the person or people if now you can't show up as who you are? Or now you feel uncomfortable? Because that can make the whole rest of the time you have sex with that person just like not as fun as it could have been if you could just be yourself. You know, I would hope that our partners like meet us where we are at. And also that goes into like before you even get in the bedroom, like what are your sexual expectations for one another? What do you sound like before you even get in the bedroom? I feel like we should ask them too.
How do you start those conversations? Like, do you have of like an opening line that you use? Because that's actually something that a lot of listeners ask us is like, how do I start this conversation with my partner? Like, I literally don't know what to say.
I always lead with compassion first. So acknowledging the things that they're doing that you do love, like, oh, I really love when you do this, or I really love when you do this, but maybe next time we can try it this way. Mm-hmm. I also really love, I'm trying to remember who I got this idea from. Emily Doe, she's Sexplanations on YouTube. I'm trying to plug her, but she talks about will, want, won't lists. Mm-hmm. So you have your wills, your wants, and your won'ts. I recommend doing it with sticky notes because then at the end you can like swap sheets
and see where you match
and where you overlap. Mm-hmm. And like make an evening of it. Maybe have a nice dinner, light some candles, get a little bit sexy. And then it just creates this ambiance of like openness to talk about the things that you need to show up in the bedroom, inside and outside. And it's not going to be easy. Having those conversations are hard because you don't want to hurt your partner or your partner's mm-hmm. egos. And it's not language we're ever taught. So when we go into the conversations, it's like so daunting and scary, but it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm. those conversations can be really hard. And we've brought up those want, will, won't lists a few times on the podcast, and they always hit me like, yes, that's what I need to do. Every time I hear them, I'm like, ah, oh, that's what I wanted to do. So also with being uninhibited, I feel like when you are fully there, you're relaxed, you're let go, you're yourself. Does that also mean that you're okay with like other bodily functions that start happening? Like maybe you're queefing or farting, or, you know, you have poop stuff with butt stuff, you know, like when you're fully uninhibited, does that mean that you're just embracing all of that?
Yes, 1,000%.
That is so scary. Yeah,
it's terrifying. But that's the natural processes of our bodies, right? We fart, we poop, we queef. You just like have to be okay with those noises. And to be honest, if I queef in the bedroom and someone doesn't turn into like a beatboxer and makes an 8 count out of my queef, I don't want it. I absolutely don't want it. Even if we like move away from all of those sounds, the sound of if you sleep with men, like the testicles smacking against your body, like that's enough for me to get comfortable.
Are you okay? She loves it, apparently. What? You were like, your eyes were closed. You were like,
I'm there.
Sure.
Getting in the moment. Yeah. It's like a meditation.
Just feeling it.
What's that? A metronome. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Metronome to your sex, baby.
Sexual metronome.
Yeah. Have you ever farted then in the bedroom, or have you been with someone that farted?
I have farted. It actually happened like 2 weeks ago and it was really loud. I started laughing. Like I was about to climax and it came out and I just looked at him and I was like, sorry. And I just like kept going. But I remember after we finished, I looked at him. I was like, I'm not sorry. I'm apologizing for it. Like that's just what came out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a really great partner that just like laughs with me about it. Mm-hmm. So I think like that's the main thing. Like just someone that makes you feel okay. And it comes to parts when they come out, you know?
I love that you took back your apology.
Yeah.
You're like, absolutely not.
Never you mind. I do not mean that. Mm-mm. What do you have a position? Is it a position that makes you fart more? Or is it just being gassy?
Was on my back. Mm-hmm. We had also had burritos that day, so that was
right into it. Yeah.
But I don't know. I find like when you're in positions where your abdomen is like really tense and like the word I'm looking for, like tensed up,
contracted.
Finally, yeah. Thank you. Contracting. Mm-hmm. When you're finally able to release and when you climaxed, sometimes everything just like. comes out because you've been squeezing it together.
And then you're like, oh,
yeah. I was on a little sexcation the other day, a week ago. And we're not super comfortable with each other yet. I don't know if I'm going to keep this in. I know he listens. So, but I was getting so gassy inside because I'm not used to like farting in front of him yet. So mm-hmm. I was just so bloated while we were having sex. I'm like, I sent him to the store at 10 p.m. to get like candy so that I could just like light up the room.
Oh no, you should have let them out.
It was so, I was just so bloated from being so gassy. But I'm like, I'm not, if I want to have good sex later, I can't have this inside of me. It will hurt. It's like it's poking your little gas bubble every time it goes in, you know?
But I wonder where this, well, actually, I know where it came from, patriarchy, this idea that, like, we have to be, like, poised and proper all the time in the bedroom and, like, dutiful daughters, and that's not the experience we have. Like, I'm sure you were so uncomfortable.
I was.
And I'm uncomfortable that you had to hold that in. I went on really a sad. Date with this guy a couple years ago, and at the end of the date, I looked at him and I was like, I have been holding in this burp the entire date. So I just belched as loud as and he looked at me and he's like, I've been holding in this fart. And he just farted.
Oh, my God.
And it was one of the best relationships I had. From that, like, that was like the first time we hung out. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, why am I trying to look perfect? Like, if you can't accept everything that comes with me, then I don't want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh, I love that so much. I don't know how I would feel if during sex he just ripped ass. I'm not sure I'm there yet.
I know how I would feel because my partner is one of the most uninhibited people I've just ever met in my entire life. And I feel like he's such a good teacher for me. Like just watching him move through life because he just doesn't think about those kinds of things. But he'll always fart during sex. And the first time he did, it was just so loud. And I was like, what? And I just never had anybody do that before, but he just doesn't care. I've talked about this in the podcast before. We were having shower sex, but we like couldn't figure out the right position. And so he ended up like sitting on the ledge and then I climbed on top of him. And then as I was bouncing up and down, he started farting, but it was like this like
I would have been so
awful
upset.
Noise because it was on like the
porcelain.
Porcelain. I always forget that word. Just on and off. And I thought it was just his body moving against it. Nope, it was him farting.
It was just him farting.
And it was so loud and it was steamy in there and it was not ideal.
It's like the wettest situation for a fart.
But then he's like, okay, I'm good. Let's just keep going. And I was like,
I wish I had the confidence. I really do.
You will get there. Yeah. You will get there, I promise.
I hope
so. I love that you kept going too, because by the sounds of it, it probably didn't smell very good.
I knew I wanted to try shower sex. Mm-hmm. I had a goal. I wanted to finish it. I wanted to finish.
Yeah.
And
so we had the power.
So
through.
I held my breath.
Jesus Christ. Proud of you.
During your story, all I was thinking about was those videos where somebody tries to cough over their fart, but it doesn't line up. So they cough and then they fart after. And I could picture that happening to you.
Oh, I'm sure. If I tried to desynchronize, I would just like shit my pants probably because I'd be doing so many things at once, like coughing and farting. I would just go the complete other direction.
And then burp.
Like just foam at the mouth. Just completely lose.
And that is uninhibited sex.
That's what we're taking away from this. And that is where I'm happy. The end.
I love it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So are we really just trying to be so enlightened right now? Just shit my pants.
Are we truly?
So tell me. Are we missing out on that like big magical electric sex when we're not being uninhibited? Is like, is that the moment that we're striving for with this?
I don't think you need to be fully uninhibited, and that can mean so many different things to different people. Mm-hmm. I think the pinnacle we're striving for is a place where you are comfortable in your body with your partner, expressing your needs, your wants, your desires, and just like having fun. Like that's really the word for it. Are you having fun? Is it a pleasurable experience for you? And do you feel free during it? Mm-hmm. That's the main thing. Uninhibited is just like the peak.
See, that wasn't the answer I was expecting, but I'm actually happier because then I feel like we're not setting our standards for like, oh, we're missing out now because we're not, or, oh, we have this goal of this like firework moment and we feel like we're failing if we're not getting there. So I'm actually happy that that was different than I expected for the answer. So I like it better.
Fireworks and like pyrotechnics all the time, right? It doesn't need to be that all the time as long as it's enjoyable, it's consensual, and you are present, that's what you want.
Right.
Could you walk us through like a story time or an example? It doesn't have to be personal. It could just be imaginative or it can be personal if you want. Of like just a really uninhibited sexual experience, because I love that we aren't necessarily like missing out and that we have to strive for this like ridiculous standard in order to actually have good sex. But I would also like to know, like, why should I be working on being more uninhibited? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm trying not to make it specific because I don't know if this person's, you know what? I don't care. We're not together.
I just said that I was farting like in my sleep at this guy and he's gonna be listening. And that I would shit my pants if I tried to cough at the same time. So please do me a solid and meet me where I'm at.
We were on vacation and my period, or what I thought had ended, was over. Mm-hmm. So we were getting hot and horny and sweaty. And I just remember him saying like, oh my God, you're so wet right now. Like this, I've never felt like this before. But I really had to pee. So I stopped to go to the bathroom and I turned on the light for whatever reason. And there was like a huge blood trail
from the bed. Oh, fuck.
Oh, and I get back to the bed and it's everywhere. It's like on him. It just looked like someone had been murdered.
Holy shit.
And we just kept going. We already started. We're having a good time. Mm-hmm. Let's just finish. And it took me such a long time to even consider period sex, because that's me unpacking and unlearning my own beliefs around like feeling dirty when I'm menstruating.
Right.
But for me, that was a huge deal because there is still so much stigma around period sex, mm-hmm, and around menstruation. So for me to be able to share that with someone, even though I had all these ideas in my head, that for me was like uninhibited. And the fact that he was okay with it made me feel even more safe. Mm-hmm. So I think that by getting to that place, I've mentioned it before, but it made me feel more comfortable in my body. It allowed me to step away from the beliefs that I have that we're dirty or that we're smelly or that we don't deserve pleasure when we're menstruating or that we're not allowed to. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, well, even though it was an accident, I never would have had that epiphany had I not had that experience of just like letting go and being free.
Mm-hmm. That's such a powerful moment too, when you can like, mm-hmm, literally see what might have been a fear previously, and then you're like, fuck it. Let's fucking go.
I was like, we're blood brothers.
Yeah.
Drawing on him.
You are mine.
No, it's arts and crafts. You get real witchy with it.
Or I was gonna say witchcraft
would be another avenue you can take.
Yeah.
That would be you being uninhibited, just saying spells in bed. I don't know. Maybe.
That's not that uninhibited, though. Yeah. I would love to know, because period sex, I think, is a big block for a lot of menstruating individuals. Mm-hmm. What you talked about, like kind of your overall thoughts, but I would love to go a little bit deeper into that. And I would also love to know, do you notice a difference between like pleasure wise between period sex and then non-period sex?
For me, yes. Well, my partner told me, like, it's better where it's wetter, like that. What's that thing, that crab from Little Mermaid?
Oh, Sebastian.
And I found that it like helped alleviate my cramps, and it was just fun. Like, it was, mm-hmm, just, we had thought about the fact that we were having period sex, but it was like kind of fun that it was this new realm that we had. Mm-hmm. I keep doing this.
And it's crab hands. You just gotta stick with it.
It out before. And just going back to what I was saying before, I think there is such a huge stigma around it because we're expelling like our uterine lining, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like gross. We're getting rid of like old dirty blood and old parts of our bodies. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, like, we feel groggy, we feel gross, we feel like lethargic on our period. So like the last thing a lot of us would ever want to do is have sex. But even the language we use, like feminine hygiene products, one, right, that's very heteronormative, and two, hygiene kind of goes into this idea that we're trying to like get clean because we're dirty. Mm-hmm. So moving away from that, it's just, language has so much power in the ways we show up. And I think we really underestimate it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Have you had a partner or had to have the conversation about like going down on you while on your period? Like, has that been something that you've dealt with?
Not on my period. No, I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm Caribbean Canadian. Like, my mom's from Jamaica and my dad's from Barbados, and most of my past partners have been Jamaican. And there's just this idea, it's shifting, but a lot of Jamaican men just don't believe in oral sex. It's like reserved for prostitutes, mm-hmm, and sex workers kind of thing. So for a lot of my partners, I was the first person that they ate out because it was like such a big deal. But that was like a non-negotiable for me. I'm like, I'm not going to deep throat you and be choked out and then go home dry. Like, I'm not doing that.
That's not the world I'm living in. No, thank you.
No. So either let me be your mask,
or you can go home. Just wear it.
God. That's fair.
Yeah. I was kind of on my period at one point, and I told the person I was about to have sex with that. He's like, oh, that's fine. We'll just have sex. And then he ended up going down on me anyways, and I wasn't really bleeding at all, but I was like conscious of it, but he didn't say anything. He's like, it's just blood. It's just iron, right? So I was like, okay.
I just don't have to take my supplement today.
Cool, dude.
Like, were you freaking out about it?
Well, like, so we had that conversation while we were out at lunch or something. Cause I was like, oh, I'm still on my period. Like, just a heads up for tonight. And so when he said that, I was like, okay, but he doesn't actually mean it. Like, he won't actually go down on me. I thought that was just like kind of a lunch talk. He wouldn't actually, you know, pull through. But then I was a little self-conscious later that evening, but I had noticed that I'd stopped bleeding anyways. So I was like, fuck it. If he's not going to say anything, then like, I'm cool with it. I think he probably forgot too. So I was like a little like, nah, in the beginning, but after I was totally fine with it.
See, that's what you need. You got to have that fuck it mentality for everything else.
I know, totally. And I really like your idea in the very beginning about taking yourself out on dates too and being alone, because I feel like I'm pretty good at being by myself. Like, I like my alone time, but I also get very self-conscious out in public alone, like if I don't have a book or like my phone in my hand. And so I feel like that self-consciousness is around me all the time with things when I start to feel very vulnerable or very seen too. So that's a great step to start identifying, like, what are my cues when I can tell I'm being like getting uncomfortable, being vulnerable, and then like maybe pushing through that too.
I love that. There is no sentence for me that's sexier than like going to a restaurant and saying like table for one, please. I love that. And it's like you have your own personal like chef, servant or whatever for the night. But that's just getting to know me and dating myself and giving myself all the things that I want all of my partners and things that I want in my relationships, like giving that to myself has really shifted the ways I show up in the bedroom, like immensely.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that really enforces this idea like, oh, I am amazing. You know what I mean? And like, if I fart, who cares? Because I'm amazing. Like, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
If I'm on my period and you go, okay, I'm incredible.
Yeah.
Like,
look what I can do.
I've gifted you with an iron supplement. I'm sorry for being so incredible. And I just feel like dates with yourself and treating yourself in whatever that means for you is such a good way to reinforce that idea.
I was at a really fancy restaurant the other week, and like a date restaurant, but I went with my friend, and we turned around and this woman was eating by herself, and she'd ordered this like steak dinner and she had wine, and we're like, I want to fucking be that bitch when I get older. Like, I want to come to this nice ass restaurant and order steak for myself. Like, that's it. So if anything, you're just exuding confidence, I think, and like security. And even if you're faking it till you're making it, I feel like that's totally fine.
Because eventually it's going to come second nature and you're not going to have to fake it anymore. You're going to love doing it.
Definitely. Have you been with partners where you can tell that they're holding back? Because like you're being this like uninhibited person, but they're like a little shy still.
Yes, I'm a little bit of a pusher. Like, if I notice that, I'm like, okay, we need to have a conversation now because this is what I want. This is what I need. And this is what I need from you. So how are we going to get there? Let's talk about it. Because I want people to show up as themselves, as their selves in the bedroom as well. And a lot of my partners in the beginning were intimidated to be sexual with me because I'm a sex educator. So I must know all of this information and know all of the answers, which isn't true at all. I'm still trying to figure out what my needs are, but I just have the ability to advocate for myself a little bit more. But it's not just only communication, it's how you communicate. And I think that's the main piece too. Like, as even though I was just being really stern, I also want to give them the space to be comfortable, to tell me like what's holding them back, to tell me that if there's something that is a taboo that they really want to try, like just being comfortable enough to tell me that and being a safe space for them. But I always reassure them, like, I'm going to show up the best way I can and in all the ways I know how. And that's exactly what I expect from you, because this is transactional, you know, like we're learning from each other. We're drawing information and we're like going through this journey together. So please, if anything ever comes up, it's a conversation. Like, let's work through it as a unit.
Mm-hmm. If you notice that your partner is being uninhibited, I feel like you gave some really great examples there. Are there any other things that you can say in the moment? Like, hey, I noticed this. Mm-hmm. Without scaring them or making them feel bad, like they did something wrong.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way too. Like, hey, I noticed this. Also, like, how did that feel? How are you feeling? Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would like to happen differently? Mm-hmm. And also just asking like them, like, is there anything that you've ever wanted to try? Like, what did your sexual appetite look like?
Mm-hmm.
But always leading, allowing them to answer instead of like projecting something that's in your head onto them. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Have you ever had an experience where you really got somebody to open up, and then once they did, you realized they just were not a match at all?
Yes.
Yay.
So the ex that I had period sex with, well, we're not together. So.
Cool.
That should tell you the end of that. Mm-hmm. I've also dated some people, and I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. I'll put it this way. They were just really adventurous in ways that I was not interested mm-hmm. and going on the journey with them.
Fair. You wanted to hop off that expedition. Yeah. I feel that. Could you give an example of what's too far for you?
Trigger warning. I dated someone briefly who was into like rape
play,
role mm-hmm. play. Mm-hmm. And that just like wasn't something I was even interested in exploring. And I didn't even give them the opportunity to have that conversation because I was like, I don't know why this is of interest to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that one was more of a heavy one. I also dated someone who liked having their toes sucked, but they had really disgusting feet.
Oh, like athlete's foot.
And I was like, I cannot. Yeah. I will never be near my mouth.
Mm-mm.
No.
Got it. So there is a line, and it's just discovering what your mm-hmm. line is. Because one of my other questions I had before we started is like, is there a too much in the bedroom? Is there going too far with your authenticity and expressions?
I'm pretty open. I hope that my partners are too, because sex is so vast, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many things that can take place. So like, why not try them all out unless you have disgusting feet?
Manicure them, please.
Yeah, please get a pedicure.
Yeah, hygiene is important.
Still, even. Yeah, I'm sure there are some toes that maybe yeah. just not meant to be sucked.
Maybe.
No, or sold for feet pics. Just
yeah. Or sold. Yeah.
Absolutely not. But no, like, I feel like as we age, like, we go through different transitions, right? And our interests and desires change. And I think that's going to change in your sex life too. So. Mm-hmm. Just try it all.
Yeah. There, I've discovered stuff about myself just from trying or having a partner ask and then try. And I think being a little uncomfortable at first can help you find, like, uncomfortable in the good way, not in the mm-hmm. scary way, but, you know, can help you discover stuff about yourself. And you also mentioned about, like, is this okay for you when we were talking about noticing if your partner's a little bit more inhibited, like asking, like, is this okay? Is this something you're liking? That question itself also takes a little courage, I feel like, to ask, because if you're told no or do this differently, I've been like, okay. Like, I was going down. I was like, is it still called going down on a guy? Like, I don't know. But that's what I'm going to say. And he's like, use less teeth. And I was like, I didn't know I was using my teeth. And then I was like, is this just bad for you now? And so that question can be a little bit scary to ask as well.
That's ego too, right?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. we want to be like the throat goat, but it takes time to get there. I love that term.
Oh my God, I've never heard that before. But my goal is to be called the throat goat one day.
I think on TikTok they say like gog gog 3000. That's another thing.
Oh my God. What are these?
I don't know, but I love them all.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Because you have to shift the language in your head around like, how can me making this shift make this more pleasurable for like both of us? Mm-hmm. So you sometimes you just have to take yourself out of the situation because he didn't tell you it was bad.
Right.
You just said, can you do less of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I feel like, did we touch on everything you feel like is important to talk about with being uninhibited and really expressing yourself? Or are there any last things that you feel like are really important?
Consent, obviously, that goes without saying. And that, like, that's piece of it. You can't be uninhibited if it's not consensual at all. But I really just want people to just have good sex. Like, that is what you deserve. Like, pleasure is your birthright in all forms, like, beyond a sexual capacity. And the question I consistently ask people is, like, how can you be unapologetically you? And what does, like, uninhibited fun look like? And just really sitting with those questions and asking yourself. And more often than not, your response to that can be shifted into the bedroom, too. Mm-hmm. So just think about it. Deeply, like really, and ask your partners those questions too, so you can know what they like and what they're into. Just have good sex, ask questions, be the throat goat, be the mask for everyone.
Love it. That's a throat goat.
My own mask mandate.
You always have good little things for that. That's great. That was a good one.
You got to tie it into current events.
Yeah.
How can our listeners continue to connect with you after the episode?
I'm on the TikToks that consistently shadow bans me, but my name on there is Jenekah Jool, JenekahJool. It is the same on Instagram. You can also just type in The Nomadic Nympho, and my YouTube, my website, and my Facebook will come up. But please follow me. Let's have conversations and ask me all the questions you want, because I love responding to people.
You actually start the
outros. I know, I start the outros. I was trying to think of a joke. I don't have any. But you found your new best friend in us and Jenekah, because I love her so much.
Yeah.
She's the cutest thing. So thank you so much for being on the episode today and talking about how to just fucking let loose. And I was trying to find another joke for our listeners. I can't. Thank you to our listeners for sticking around.
For doing what you do best.
For doing what you do best.
If you liked this episode, please send it to one or two or three or a million other people that you think could benefit from it, that you think could let loose a little, take the stick out of their ass, and have a better time in the bedroom.
In the bedroom.
You know who they are.
Or the broccoli stem out of their ass.
I am somebody that needs this episode. So
do it.
Do that. And if you have a few extra minutes, head on over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe to Honey Do Me. It means the absolute world to us. If this is the episode that's going to get you to leave a written review, go ahead and leave a diamond ring, because Jenekah's a jewel. Get it? And it's also her last name. It's spelled it, but I feel like that's still really cute. So, and that's an emoji, right?
Yeah. A diamond. A big old fatty diamond.
A big old diamond. I think I said diamond ring, but.
All right. Peace out.
On that note.
Mother truckers. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.